this topic is much bigger than I thought it was going to be when I proposed the paper, so some things will be kind of sketchy, but bear with me, because, and if you have any ideas about where I should be going with this, I'd be glad to hear them. Okay, what I would like to do today is explore the relationship between the French term mal du pays and the Russian тоска по родине, both of which mean a longing for home or for the homeland. I'm especially interested in the period shortly before, during, and after the Franco-Russian conflict, when both terms acquire notable visibility in Russia, in part as a result of the Napoleonic experience itself. At first glance, it may seem that тоска по родине is simply a calque of the French term mal du pays. Тоска more or less signifies mal, and du pays is basically equivalent to the phrase по родине. And thus, the Russian term is a relatively straightforward linguistic choice that Russians would have made when they wanted to say mal du pays in Russian. The situation is not quite so simple, however. While mal du pays and тоска по родине are obviously synonymous, they were felt to be equivalents only in certain decades and in certain contexts. Let me give you an example. In the 1850s, the writer Nikolai Kunshin, who was a close friend of the poet Baratynsky, recalled the years of their military service together in Finland during the first half of the 1820s. According to Kunshin, Baratynsky suffered terribly during these years because he felt a particularly strong longing for home. "I never knew a man more attached to the place of his birth," Kunshin writes. "Like a Swissman, Baratynsky was simply possessed by that illness which is almost unknown among us, that the French call mal du pays." When Kunshin's memoir was published in the 1950s, editors offered a gloss for readers unfamiliar with the French term, suggesting that mal du pays was equivalent to the Russian nostalgia, or тоска по родине. As Kunshin knew, however, and as his choice to switch from Russian to French indicates, mal du pays was a distinct concept not fully translatable into standard Russian. Or was it? Let me point out that the phrase тоска по родине was alive and well before Baratynsky was even born. In 1795, for example, a writer by the name of Pavel Gagarin had published a poem entitled «Тоска по родине», which, rather significantly, describes a situation that is similar in many respects to that depicted by Kunshin, namely being unhappily forced to remain away from home for an extended period because of military service. Put a bit differently, not only does «Тоска по родине» already exist, it is part of the same literary elite literary military environment. Gagarin, of course, who was writing poetry in Russian, is unlikely to have relied on a French phrase in his title, but why then does Kunshin, who's also writing in Russian, switch to French to express the same idea? Wouldn't «тоска по родине» have been a more patriotic choice, particularly after the Napoleonic conflict? More generally, we might expect also that the Russian phrase «тоска по родине» would have become increasingly popular in the years between Gagarin's poem and Kunshin's memoir. Linguistic patriotism aside, the Napoleonic era also helped to usher in the age of Romanticism, whose aesthetic canon highly prized both тоска and родина. Moreover, the conflict with Napoleon itself encouraged Russians to think of Russia or to feel Russia with the wistful affection embodied in this term. In the first part of my paper today, I will try to explain this apparent contradiction, namely, if the phrase тоска по родине was available to Kunshin, why does he choose to use mal du pays to express the same idea? The short answer, of course, is that it's not quite the same idea. One of the most striking differences between mal du pays and тоска по родине is that the French phrase in the 18th and early 19th centuries commonly referred to a specific medical illness, also known as nostalgia, and affecting primarily, but not exclusively, the ranks of conscripted soldiers. The term nostalgia, some of you may know, is relatively modern. It was coined in 1688, and thus not too long before the period that interests us, by a Swiss medical student, Johannes Hofer, who wrote a dissertation on the subject. The concept of homesickness had been around for some time, of course, in Western culture, at least since the time of Odysseus, and, as Hofer points out, was already colloquially known in German as Heimweh, literally homesickness, and in French as maladie du pays. He uses maladie instead of mal, but these words are or quickly become interchangeable, at least in this context. It was Hofer's intent to elevate the state or condition of homesickness into a bona fide medical illness by carefully describing its symptoms and giving it a scientific Greek name. The term nostalgia is a compound formed from nostos, or homecoming, even epic homecoming as in that of Odysseus, and algia, or pain. Hofer's coinage had the effect of calling into being an affliction that was to enjoy significant prominence in medical circles for the next two centuries, causing much suffering and even death before it was unceremoniously removed from medical taxonomies, as historian Thomas Dodman puts it, the symptoms having migrated towards other disorders that we know today as depression or post-traumatic stress disorder. In its heyday, however, Mal du Pays was a well-known source of military disaster, helping to decimate French troops during both the Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars. In fact, the fact that Hofer's primary case studies with Swiss soldiers resulted in the term nostalgia, and by extension Mal du Pays, being associated not only with the military and with the rank of the common soldier, but also with Hofer's native Switzerland. For at least the next 150 years, the Swiss countryside, or pays, was reputed to exercise an especially strong pull on the young peasant draftee, or paysan, who was forced by military service to abandon his humble homestead, leaving behind in one fell swoop both the fresh cow's milk to which he was accustomed and the equally tasty milk of his mother's breast. As we have seen, Baratynsky also suffers mal du pays like a Swissman. Furthermore, Konchin's characterization makes clear that the term mal du pays retained much of the medical flavor that it had for Hofer well into the 19th century, as well as an association with the experience of the common soldier. The elite Baratynsky was no paysan, of course, but he was serving in the army far from home and as a result of some juvenile misbehavior in the rank of private. Baratynsky was also wont to exaggerate the distance between his military service in Finland and his home in Petersburg. Konchin's memories thus function to confirm the pose of exiled common soldier that Baratynsky did in fact adopt during those years. As for Gagarin, he too adopts the perspective of a common soldier in his poem Tuska Porodzinia. This verse has been described as roughly autobiographical in that the poet writes from the banks of the Niemen River on Russia's western border, where Gagarin himself had actually been stationed. Less autobiographical, however, is the elite poet's rustic vocabulary as he longs for his Milaya Rodina, his girlfriend or Lyubeznaya, and his Krovnia, or kinfolk. We should also note that Gagarin's verse has the popular or pseudo-popular rhythm of a romantic song, and indeed he intended that it be set to music. Clearly, Tuska po rodzinie has no medical connotations for Gagarin, despite its association with the peasant soldier. Thus, it would seem that Tuska po rodzinie comes into being, in a sense, under pressure from the existence of nostalgia and mal du pays, and although Konchin obviously does not consider it to be a very serious alternative to mal du pays in the strictly medical sense, it could, as Gagarin's poem shows, be associated with aspects of that illness. I have found an 1822 Russian text on military medicine that gives Tuska po rodzinie as a synonym for nostalgia and also defines it as a dangerous passion of the soul. But this Russian text suggests little more than a paraphrase of French work on the subject. Maybe a translation. I haven't examined that very carefully yet. Moreover, as Konchin points out, mal du pays did not generally strike Russian soldiers. It is interesting to note that in France, the term was reserved for medical diagnoses and not used by the soldiers themselves. I suggested in my abstract that if nostalgia or maladie du pays primarily affected the common soldier, Tuska po rodzinie was a loftier affliction that beset the Russian elite. In a sense, however, mal du pays was also an elite term when used as a medical label, while Tuska po rodzinie perhaps afflicts less the Russian elite than the stylized Russian peasant found in the elite's poetry. To sum up, with mal du pays, Konshin refers to a medical illness suggestive of the peasant soldier, while avoiding at the same time the dreary and thoroughly unromantic ambiance of the actual Russian peasantry. In the second part of my paper, I would like to talk briefly about how these terms subsequently evolved. I should point out here that the term pays underwent an important evolution in this period from the meaning of village, countryside, or local region to that of nation or patrie. The topographical expansion of this term reflects the French Empire's pointed attempts to inculcate in the peasant soldier a spirit of national patriotism that would replace his sense of local allegiance. Napoleon's armies were built upon the idea that home was not a thatched hut with mother inside, but France itself. And as Napoleonic soldiers ventured further into foreign lands, they increasingly began to associate the concept of native land with France or Paris rather than with the rural countryside. That the term nostalgia vanishes from medical literature is a testament to the success of this process. Mal du pays takes on a rather different character when the countryside is no longer the primary point of reference. A parallel development occurs in Russian culture, encouraged by French models, it seems to me, and romantic literary fashions, as well as by the Napoleonic conflict. Namely, as Russians were defending their state, the term Rodina was extended to embrace the entire country. In the Dictionary of the Russian Academy, published in the 1790s, Rodina means where one is born, где кто родился, while in Dahl's dictionary from the 1860s, it has both a broad definition as the land or political state of one's birth and a narrow definition as the town or village of one's birth. While we're on the subject, let me mention that the word nostalgia also seems to have efficiently entered standard Russian by the 1860s when it appeared in Dahl's dictionary with the definition «Тоска по родине как душевная болезнь», that is to say, «Тоска по родине» as understood as an illness of the soul. This entry both confirms that the Russian term couldn't be used as a synonym for nostalgia to mean illness, and that there are also other less pathological ways to understand «тоска по родине». As we all know, nostalgia went on to become a much vaguer term in Russian and in many other languages, becoming increasingly abstract as the longing for home was replaced by many other kinds of longings, and thus moving from a severe clinical condition, in the words of Dodson, to an essentially benign emotional inclination that became an indulgent leitmotif for young poets brimming with romantic angst. Tosca without Rodina, in other words. It seems to me that a similar process occurs with the terms mal du pays and tosca par Rodina. Similar because both of these terms also existed outside the sphere of military medicine, unlike nostalgia. That said, they were both further depathologized or purged of medical significance to acquire a still vaguer and more metaphorical quality. In the mid-19th century, mal du pays might continue to cause heartache and insomnia, for example, but it was no longer connected with constipation or hemorrhage. Interestingly, art and literature seem to have led the way for this medical redefinition of terms. The idea of «тоска по родине» develops hand-in-hand with the French concept of «mal du pays» as a popular literary, musical, and theatrical notion over the first half of the 19th century. I'm speaking now of the idea of «mal du pays» or «тоска по родине» because the Russian phrase undergoes some modification as it becomes more metaphorical. There are actually three ways to express this concept in Russian, depending on which type of «pays» one prefers. Родина, отечество, or отчизна. If I had much more time, I could tell you something about the evolution of these alternatives over the course of the 18th century. What I'll have to do instead is very briefly characterize the distinction between these terms in the post-Napoleonic period. «Тоска по родине» was the title of a story by the writer Загоскин from 1839, but in general, this phrase was clearly not felt to be the best choice for expressing a longing for home in literary and artistic circles. It seems to me that the rhetorical celebration of the Russian peasant and his patriotism during the Napoleonic period discredited the literary possibilities of the term Rodina for elite writers, unless, like Gagarin, they were interested in popular stylizations. Rodina was too firmly linked to the peasantry to be of use in expressing more than the elite writer's memories of early childhood in the bosom of the countryside. Tuska Paetiesesblu occurs as well, but infrequently. This term is too bureaucratic, too political, to work very well with Tuska. That may seem obvious, but it is not the case in 18th century letters where Tuska and Atiechesba belong to the same stylistic register of high pathos and often occur together. The relative impopularity of Tuska Paetiesesblu in the post-Napoleonic period thus seems to be a result of the Franco-Russian conflict as well, or the use of Atiechesba in that context, political, highly politicized context. As you have undoubtedly guessed, the term of choice in literary and artistic circles is definitely Tuska Paetiesesblu. The term Atchizna occurs relatively infrequently in 18th century literature, but in the post-Napoleonic period takes on a wide range of roles, similar to those of Pai, in referring to everything from the village hearth to the political state. It occurs both in stylized romantic songs, like Gagarin's, and works written from a more cultivated perspective. Atchizna was also used for epic homecomings. In Zhukovsky's translation of the Odyssey, published in 1849, we see 3 occurrences of Rodina, 24 of Atiechestva, and 87 instances of Atchizna. Mid-19th century Odysseus, pining for the homeland, suffers not Maldu Pai or Tuska pa Rodina, but a more dignified, epic, and still aesthetically satisfying Tuska pa Atchizna. Thank you.